Yes, I think one of the things that I kind of was thinking about this year is that I think if you can spend 15 minutes a day with the bees, it's time well spent. Just being able to sit down and observe and see what happens and to notice the differences, to notice the behavior, and just to use it as a kind of meditation is a really, you know, a good way to kind of enrich your life. And so you'll soon notice that the bumblebees are the biggest bees. And in the spring, it's the queens that come out. And they're really big because they have the fat stores that allow them to survive over the winter. And all the rest of their little nest dies away. So they have to start from scratch. And so you see the big bumblebees coming out in the spring. And bumblebees can forage earlier because they're furrier. And they can forage in lower temperatures. They can forage in the shade. And they can also forage in the rain. So in this climate, incredibly important.
Absolutely.
And that's one reason why it's so hard to raise honeybees here sometimes, because we have so much rain.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's also the mason bees, which are native, and they're becoming more and more popular because people are becoming aware of their importance within pollinating fruit trees.
Right.
And so I think it's wonderful that people are starting to put out mason bee condos and learning how to maintain them and look after them and look for them. And so I think that's a really good move forward. And then there's all kinds of smaller bees, many different kinds of varieties. One of them is really intriguing, the leafcutter bees, because it actually cuts polka dotted shaped holes in your rose bushes, and it uses the leaf to put as a dividing wall between its egg cells. So the leafcutter bee will lay an egg and then put pollen and bee bread, pollen and nectar down, and then another leaf divider, and then another egg, and then the food, and then the leaf divider. And so in the way that mason bees use clay to do that, the room divider, that's how leafcutter bees do it. And then there's tiny bees called sweat bees that sometimes can land on you and actually lick your sweat. And they're beautiful little bees. All kinds of little bees. And sometimes it's hard once they get smaller to tell if it's a bee, a fly, or a wasp. And that's where the entomologists come in, the hardcore entomologists who can identify. But it's just so fun to see, you know, the diversity, even if you don't know what they are, you know, just to see if you see something new. And I also find the relationship of the pollinator to the flower really intriguing. And so flowers evolve with pollinators over many, 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 many years. And it's really dependent on the shape of the bee and the length of their tongue. And so the nectar tube, if it's too long, then the bee won't be able to access it. Right.
Right.
So, for instance, I was reading that there's this kind of clover called crimson clover, which has a longer nectar tube than white clover.
Okay.
So white clover has little nectar tubes that are full of sweet nectar that is perfect for a honeybee tongue. And the honeybee tongue acts like a straw, and it just sips up the nectar, and it's satisfied. And the crimson clover would require the tongue of the insect to be longer because it's a longer tube. But if the nectar is full up to the brim, then the honeybee can access the top part of it.
Oh, that's interesting.
So it's interesting because it's capillary reaction. So it just sort of starts sucking it up and then it just sucks up. So, I find this really interesting because in England we have columbines. We're native columbines here, and they have columbines in England. And they don't have hummingbirds in England. So the nectar spurs of columbines are actually longer here, for instance, because the hummingbirds evolved with the flower.
Okay.
And so they can go in. If it's too long for a bumblebee, what the bumblebee can actually do is chew a hole closer to the bottom of the nectar tube and cheat and stick their tongue in that hole. But it's a lot of work to do that, so it has to be like a nectar source that they really, really, really want.